God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Wow, I have enough show to do 5 hours today. Easy, commercial free. I have enough for that. I have enough to do that. But I only have an hour. It's like a fire hose going into a pee hole. But there were so many different interesting interviews and committee hearings yesterday. It's like that's all the Congress is doing. You wonder, you know, if we didn't have corruption and we didn't have committee hearings and impeachment trials and all kinds of stuff, I mean, what would we be doing as a country? We'd be so much better off if we weren't fighting with each other. But, you know, the Democrats seem to not get it. You know, like I was listening to someone speak about this and, you know, about the Hamas protesters protesting, because there was a really interesting exchange also that we're going to play today about the protesters. Oh, my gosh. I have so much to talk about. But the Gorsuch gave just such an amazing exchange with respect to this attorney, Supreme Court defense, a liberal attorney pushing the obstruction of justice issue at the Supreme Court. Turns out this woman clerked for Merrick Garland, and she's so out to lunch. She wants to crucify and exterminate her opposition. I mean, they're threatening to throw Trump in jail for 30 days if he violates his gag order, which is unconstitutional. Trump comes out and says, they're bashing me on air and I can't respond to it in an election season? That's election interference, right? It's just insane. It's unbelievable, the unprecedented nature of what things have become today. And the Democrats don't seem to get it. And they could sit there and they could block bridges no matter what. I mean, it could be that there is an emergency vehicle that's trying to save a life and they don't care. There's protests going on blocking people trying to catch their planes in O'Hare. They're blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. All the while, people are dying. People who need emergency treatment because they just had a heart attack are now dead today because of these protesters. What are they protesting? They're protesting that Hamas is the victim when they're the terrorist. It's so stupid. They are so dumb. It's unbelievable. Like, I can't even get my head squared around it. What are you even fighting for? You ask these people, you have a conversation with them, and they don't even know what the politics are. You know, you ask somebody, I remember when Ocasio-Cortez was asked about, you know, the Israeli aggression over Hamas and the Palestinians, and she didn't have a clue. She was like, well, that's not my strong area. You know, that was when she was a wet behind the ears and green. Now she's a millionaire. She's got advisors, all kinds of stuff. That's what happens. That's what happens when you get into Congress. It doesn't take long before you become rich. We have election fraud issues. We have so much. So I have to actually start with audio clips earlier than usual because I have so many interesting. And I'm going to cut these like in fractions, meaning I'm going to cut some of this stuff into fractions because, you know, and the other thing is Mayorkas's impeachment. We got to talk about that. So, you know, a lot of people are concerned that Schumer might table or vote to dismiss because the argument is they don't want to hear the evidence in an election year. The evidence is going to be overwhelming. This trial is going to be such exposure, just like COVID. I mean, we're finding out that the government lied to us about COVID every step of the way, that Fauci is a murderer. We're going to learn that Mayorkas and Biden did this all on purpose. Of course, we know that already. We knew it all the way. But the thing is, the liberals don't know it. And it's all about controlling what the liberal press, which is all of the press, has to cover on a day-to-day basis. They so much want to cover Trump, but then they can't because Trump keeps on outsmarting them. After the court proceedings yesterday for jury selection, not only did they find out that there is secret plans of political operatives from the left that lied about their disdain for Trump, only to find out on social media that they were actually paid influencers and workers and protesters on behalf of the Democrat Party. This person lied, but this person got greenlit anyway, which goes to show you what kind of sham this trial is going to be. But all Trump has to do is get just one or two that believe in the truth and the law. And not only that, but then Trump will likely prevail on appeal, but we'll see. It's a scary proposition because Trump could go to jail through, if this trial ends up, and this is what they're trying to do, by the way, you may want to get your head around this. They took a misdemeanor that was out of statute from limitations, and they applied a federal, they call it the Frankenstein case. They applied a federal statute to it and brought it back to life in an election season. And they've timed it out just so that by the time that Trump, you know, they might only be able to give Trump 90 days in jail, right? For such a misdemeanor or whatever it is, right? But they want to take this case all the way out throughout the entire election season and mandate that Trump be in court every single day over this Stormy Daniels hush money case that happened before 2015, but it came up in 2015. And Michael Cohen is their star witness, a serial perjurer, and, you know, has this going on. And that what they want to do is they want to get a verdict at some point near the election during the time when you would normally have debates with the two presidential candidates. And then hopefully Trump would be in jail on election night. Can you believe it? You know, this happened with Imran Khan. This happened with Bolsonaro in Brazil, Imran Khan in Pakistan. This happened with Mubarak in Egypt when Obama and his State Department tried to overthrow Mubarak and install Muslim Brotherhood leader Morsi because he was friendly with the ISIS rebels that became mercenary groups paid by the U.S. Remember, they were cutting off heads of journalists to keep the journalists out? But all the while, they were just trying to control Iraqi oil and run it into Europe and into Africa in exchange for other precious minerals and pushing the Green New Deal of electric vehicles, lithium, nickel. And all the other big corporations got involved. All of that stuff is just so corrupt. Every aspect of this. These people that make such foolish decisions, like Mayorkas, who just yesterday lied through his teeth and says, our number one concern is border security and the protection of the American people. He lied. But there it is. They just lie for no reason. They just lie, lie, lie. Mayorkas and Biden aren't stupid. They're evil, which makes them appear stupid to a non-evil person. It's like a lot of people. Charles Manson probably wasn't stupid, but he was pure evil personified. And what he did was extraordinarily evil. But in some ways, he comes off stupid to the normal, healthy Christian. But, you know, and that's what's under attack today, is our Christian values. They do not want a community. They don't want a family nucleus. If they did, organizations like Netflix and Disney wouldn't be adhering to the Obama's game plan. They wouldn't be adhering to pedophilia. They wouldn't be doing what Nickelodeon, you know, any young parents out there with young children needs to look at what Nickelodeon's been up to or Disney and realize, what are they up to? You know, these women's lib movement was all about child indoctrination, getting children into kindergarten earlier. I mean, you can't judge these movements by the cover. Black Lives Matter wasn't even about black lives and mattering. It was about the exploitation and the politics of racial division. So, I mean, all of these brochure covers are the opposite of what they intend to be. You know, there's so many examples I can give. Just would be a waste of time. All right. So we have this situation with Senator Schumer getting under a lot of pressure. And we're going to start with a few clips here. This particular one, well, I want to start off with this one. This is Mike Lee and him talking about the need to have a trial for Mayorkas. Let's take a listen to this, because, and again, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to do my best to cut these things at the right time, because these things are too long. And I just wanted you to get a sampling of some of what's going on and we're going to try to move. We have about three subjects we want to cover today, but let's just see. We're going to do the best we can. So let's just take a listen to. This is Mike Lee holding a press conference. Now, this press conference is 51 minutes long. Of course, we're not going to play that. We're going to play a couple of minutes here and there. So let's see what we can do.
It's a pleasure to be with you today, and it's a pleasure to be joined by a number of my Senate colleagues and our House counterparts, including members of the House prosecution team. We've just witnessed something that has occurred only now 22 times in American history. On 21 prior occasions, the House of Representatives has passed articles of impeachment. In 17 out of those 21 cases, the result has been the culmination of a trial in the Senate, resulting in a finding of guilty or not guilty, of conviction or of acquittal. It's not only expected but required under the Constitution that we should do this under Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6 of the Constitution. The Senate shall have power to try all impeachments. That means all impeachments. The only four exceptions out of those 21 that I referenced are instances in which the case became moot or we lacked jurisdiction in the first instance. We don't lack jurisdiction in this instance. In fact, we have it. Secretary Mayorkas is still in office. Unlike those four, he was neither a member of the U.S. Senate and therefore not subject technically to the impeachment authority, but rather to expulsion, nor is he deceased, nor is he left office. So we retain subject matter jurisdiction over this. In that circumstance, we're expected and, in fact, required to conduct a trial. And what that means is we are sworn in. We're going to be sworn in tomorrow as senators, as performing the equivalent of the judge-jury function, where we're both finders of fact and also imbued with the authority to decide questions of law relative to the impeachment trial. And what all that presupposes is that we will reach a finding of guilt or innocence. Guilty, not guilty. We shouldn't be sidestepping this. Now, previously, Chuck Schumer and the Democrats had talked a lot about wanting to just table this. Never in the history of the United States Senate have we addressed articles of impeachment with a motion to table. They're now talking about doing a motion to dismiss. That begs the question, on what basis are they going to move to dismiss? They haven't articulated their position. I suppose we'll hear about that more tomorrow. In any court of law that I know anything about, in order to simply dismiss an accusation, civil or criminal, you're going to have to make the case that the law doesn't allow you to do what you're doing. It doesn't state a claim upon which relief can be granted, or here, a claim upon which a person can be impeached. I have yet to hear them make an argument to that effect. In the context of Rule 12b-6 motion to dismiss and civil litigation, you resolve all factual inferences and assume all facts alleged in favor of the plaintiff, the non-moving party. And if all those facts are true, then and only then you get to assess that the complaint fails to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. I have yet to hear any articulation of their theory of why they're entitled to a motion to dismiss. And in fact, as we've just read, we've heard along with the chairman of the House Impeachment Committee, Representative Mark Green from the state of Tennessee, if you take all those facts to be true, as I believe we must in this circumstance until we've had a chance to be finders of fact ourselves, there can be no doubt but that a case for impeachment can be made and has been made here, and that we must convene a trial to find these facts and reach an ultimate verdict as to guilt or innocence. We'll turn now to my friend and colleague from Texas, Senator Cruz.
So this is
Ted Cruz. We've just witnessed history being made. Only 22 times in our nation's history has the House of Representatives presented and delivered articles of impeachment to the Senate. Only twice in our nation's history has a cabinet member been impeached by the House. The stakes of this impeachment are not some technical violation of law, but rather an enormous and growing threat to the lives and safety of millions of Americans.
Right. And we're going to go ahead now and play some other clips associated with this to get more to the point. Okay. So let's take a listen to Mike Lee again on the floor. Let's take a listen to this.
Madam President, I rise today to speak in support of my motion to table the Ramona Manglona nomination.
Oh, wait. Okay. My apologies. Okay, so that's a judicial nomination. So this is another point I wanted to make. It's holding up all the other business in the Senate because what's happening is the Senate Republicans are holding out like they're playing chicken. Game of chicken. And basically they're saying that we're not going to weigh in on nominations until you do what you're supposed to do with regard to this trial. So then you have this one right here. Let's see. Well, this is Ted Cruz here.
Recognizes the single most endangered Democrat senator on the ballot this year is John Tester from Montana. I don't know how many of the reporters were in the chamber for the reading of the articles, but John Tester was standing on the floor before the managers arrived. As soon as the managers arrived, Tester turned and ran, presumably into the cloakroom. And if you look at the Democrat side, virtually every Democrat was there, but John Tester was nowhere
to be
found.
Continue to...
Right, so John Tester ran out, didn't want to be weigh in on it because he's a Democrat from Montana. And how do you like them apples? All right, so Secretary Mayorkas worked with dark money NGOs to finance the illegal alien invasion. This is the kind of dirt that they're going to have on him. Let's take a listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mayorkas, we do not have a country without a secure border. And we cannot have a safe country. We cannot protect our own democracy without protecting our elections. That is a fact. The open border is the number one issue across America in poll after poll. And that is exactly why this committee impeached you. Mr. Secretary, the Oversight Project released a bombshell report last night on your connection to the dark money NGO industrial complex of illegal immigration. I know you saw this from one of my colleagues just earlier. They found flyers throughout the Resource Center Matamoros refugee camp in Mexico telling illegal aliens, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. Eyewitnesses saw the flyers also being handed out to migrants who were using RCM for assistance in coming to the United States. In an audio recording, the founder of RCM, Gabby Zavala, by the way, we maybe should subpoena her to the committee, agreed that they need to help as many people as possible before President Trump gets reelected. RCM is an operation that houses functions for the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which helps migrants enter the United States, and you're familiar with their work. We know that you served as a former board member, member of this group that funds illegal immigration. And they're very proud of you, Mr. Secretary. They congratulated you on your nomination. You worked as a board member of an NGO that is working in conjunction with other NGOs, which are not only financing the invasion of the country, but also telling illegal aliens to vote in the United States elections.
You get this, right? Mayorkas is getting rich off of this stuff.
Aliens, non-citizens, to come vote for Joe Biden. That's your boss. This is corruption at the deepest level. As a matter of fact, I would call it treason. It's treason because these people have declared war on our citizens by raping our women, our children, and murdering people. Like Lakin Riley, you're familiar with her, right?
Congressman, our heart breaks.
Are you familiar with Lakin Riley?
I am familiar with the case.
You should have deported her so that she could be alive today. Her parents would have appreciated that. And also Kayla Hamilton, who was brutally raped and murdered by a cartel member. Her mother came and spoke to us. She didn't deport him either. You let him in the country. You, Mr. Secretary, have allowed over 10 million illegals, probably higher than that, could be closer to 15 million, we don't know, to invade our country. You've allowed the cartels to make billions and billions. As a matter of fact, you're probably the best business partner they could ever have. They make all this money in human trafficking and drug trafficking at our border. You've allowed approximately 300 Americans to be murdered every single day from fentanyl that comes across our border. And now you're aiding NGOs to steal our elections through your budget. I demand proof of citizenship in our elections, and that is something every single member of Congress
That's where this
care
is
about.
Going, folks.
We don't need illegal aliens voting in our elections.
It's this case that's going to actually make that argument for the need for voter ID absolutely essential. So this might pay dividends. Continue.
We're supposed to be here talking about your budget, but we're talking about how money is being used to make sure people come into our country are able to get a Social Security number in which they can register to vote. And on that note, Mr. Mayorkas, I demand that Chuck Schumer holds your impeachment trial in the Senate, because that's exactly what we should be focused on right now.
That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of hearing all that. Let's take a listen to Senator Kennedy.
Senator Schumer, move to table these impeachment articles and accusations. And he's going to tell you that there's no evidence. And here's what I want you to ask him. How do you know? How do you know? Because you haven't heard the evidence. In every other case, in every other case of impeachment, except when the public official quit, the United States Senate heard the evidence. We let both sides present their case, and then we decided. But not this time. And you know what? It has nothing to do with the evidence. And it has nothing to do with what's right. This is raw gut politics. And you know it, and I know it, and the American people know it. The American people may be poorer under President Biden, but they are not stupid. They know a whitewash when they see it. And what Senator Schumer is going to do tomorrow, it is fatuous, it is fraudulent, and it is an insult to the Senate, and it is a disservice to every American citizen who believes in the rule of law.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, morning, Scott.
Morning.
Look, what if we find out that Mr. Mayorkas has indeed violated the law, but is actually following policy?
Well, yeah, but there's law and there's policy. Policy could be a violation of law. So,
well, yeah, but policy can supersede law. We see that through all the government.
Okay, I don't know. I really don't know the answer
well,
to that question.
What if he's actually doing what he's told? And that's what they don't want people to find out, is that he's not violating the law.
We know that.
He's doing what he's told.
Well, no. Look, Mayorkas and Biden were in a... Biden gave that speech. You've seen it. Everybody's heard it. The one
exactly.
Where he says, we're going to bring in as many foreign illegals as we could possibly. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We're, you know, about European stock and all that. Remember that? You remember that, right?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
That's what
my point
what I'm
is,
saying.
Guess who is sitting right to his left? Mayorkas. These two have been, they're profiting from this. They're getting kickbacks like you've never seen. And you're never going
right.
to find and trace that money. When they talk about the cartels making billions, what if I just decide to give you a skid of cash, right? What if I just decide to give you a skid of cash and say, hey, thank you. Thank you for making my business so prosperous. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. But go ahead and finish your point. I just...
Well, because what he said, like when Mayorkas says... You know, the border, we need more security. We need, you know, we have a secure border. The security, in my opinion, that what he's referring to is the efficient processing of these people, not the stopping them. But
well,
the
of course, and that's
what
that's always been the beef. Like, you know, when he calls for more funding, well, we need more money to secure the border. Do you know that he's already spending more money to secure the border than Trump did, and Trump secured the border? I mean, the point is that he's underperforming with the more money. With more money, he's doing a worse job, right? But that's not by
right.
mistake. That's not because he's stupid. That's because they are basically wanting more personnel to process more and more people. Because if I'm getting a nickel ahead, you know, I knew a guy that was in the oil business. I mean, in a big way. He was actually the key figure in Syriana, and I used to work for him a long time ago in the 90s. Sorry, folks. We got people calling in. I can only take one call at a time, but I'm going to do my best to figure this out. So my point is that he was getting like a penny on the barrel. But, you know, when it's a billion barrels, you know, you're making some good bank, right? I mean, the guy had a Bentley and a Rolls Royce in different countries with personal drivers. I mean, he was that rich. So, I mean, my point is that they're making a nickel on, or a penny on a head. And I don't know. I mean, they're getting a lot of money is what they're getting. And so there's a lot of palm greasing going on.
Yeah, and it just seems to me that they're kind of pulling like a rope-a-dope, you know, type of thing.
That's all they've been doing.
They're trying to impeach him for not.
They have a script.
The law.
Just yesterday, Mayorkas said something he said 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, which is our sole purpose is to secure the border and protect the American people. I mean, that's because you can't get fired for saying that, right?
Yeah, well, it's the whole plausible deniability aspect of this thing.
We're doing our best. We need more funding. You know?
Yeah.
No, it's a complete and total fraud. It's a fraud to the likes we've never seen in America, ever.
The thing that is so maddening about it is when you try to talk to regular people that aren't even engaged in this, they don't know. They don't know anything.
I know, and it's shame on them because, you know what, we're losing our country because of them, because they're so ill-informed and they just don't care, and, you know, they should care. Because you know what's going to happen to those people that don't care right now, and they say, you know, I'm fine, I'm doing okay. Guess what? 20 years from now, they're not going to be doing okay. 10 years from now, they're not going to be doing okay. And that's a shame. No. You know, the same guy that ran Solyndra into the ground is now gotten financing from the Biden administration for another Green New project. Do you believe that? You know, and here's what I have to say about all that is, why is it that since 1988, you had Herbert Walker Bush, then you had the Clintons, then you had the Obamas, and you had W. Bush. How is it that we have not had one rising star come out of nowhere like Barack Obama did and come out of nowhere like a Manchurian? How is it that we have not yet gotten one uninsured politician to run for presidency? You know, Trump is the only one. And look at what they're doing to Trump now. And by the way,
he's not part of the club.
I didn't finish my earlier in the beginning of the show, I was bringing up Trump yesterday. So while Biden was in Scranton speaking before the Freemasons, that's what he was doing, the private society Freemasons, the public was not allowed. But when they showed, I was watching this YouTube video of this guy on the streets. There wasn't anybody lined up with a Biden sign, not one. The only thing that showed up for Biden's convoy coming into Scranton, where he's supposed to be from, right, was the pro-Hamas group that hates Biden. That's it. And then he speaks before a half-filled audience. Like, there was half the arena, half the thing. The venue, there was about 100 people that showed up. That's it. Maybe. Not even that. And then juxtapose that with Trump having to go to court for jury selection, right? And then he goes to the bodegas. And remember that guy that defended himself against that thug that tried to kill him? And he knifed him? And he ended up killing the thug in his bodega? And Alvin Bragg was going to go and try to arrest the bodega operator for the murder. And then the public outrage went so great that they actually had to pull that back and say, okay, Alvin Bragg couldn't even pull that one off. And so what Trump did yesterday so cleverly, because he's got a gag order, that he decided to show to bash Alvin Bragg with a demonstrative thing. He got the endorsement of the bodega operators of New York City, which is huge because it's the bodegas and the real people that live there that are, you know, copacetic and one. So the fact is that when he went to the bodega, that was such a great PR stunt. and it wasn't even a stunt. It was he got their endorsement of the common man worker working the bodegas, whose chief complaint is that Alvin Bragg is allowing people to get robbed every other day. And these bodegas are getting stuck up with a gun, you know, and a thug almost every day.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, it is.
Anyway, you got me in a vendetta kind of mood today.
All right, sorry. All right. Thanks for taking my call, Scott.
All right, sure.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, you know, I got that line, vendetta kind of move, from one of my favorite movies, True Romance. And it was Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper. And it's like, you caught me in a vendetta kind of mood. It's kind of crazy. But I often quote movies in my personal life. But I've loved doing that and seeing if the person catches what you just said, which is kind of fun. But in any case, all right. So I got more for you. All right. So here we got. This guy, one of my favorite reporters, he's from Africa, and he gets shunned by Jean-Pierre all the time. He says, I just spent the entire day at the IMF World Bank meetings, and it was really interesting that none of the people here speak in a language the common man can understand. Everyone is in a suit and fake. The biggest scammers are the so-called world leaders and experts. All right, so let's see. Got some other stuff here that I wanted to share with you. There's so much, actually. It's like a fire hose blowing water out, and you can't even keep pace with it. Okay, so I have this. Holly brutally confronts Granholm. You got to hear this. These were all yesterday. These were all committee hearings yesterday. So Granholm is the Department of Energy Secretary. You got to hear this. It's unbelievable. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm going to play the first part of it. So let's take a listen.
And when you were here last,
Senator
I
Hawley.
Talked with you about the fact that more than 130 officials in the Energy Department reported more than 2,700 trades of shares, bonds, and options.
By the way, Granholm starts stuttering. She's like appalled. She's taken back. She can't even handle the pressure that Hawley gives her. You got to hear this. So let's listen.
And 130 officials in the Energy Department reported more than 2,700 trades of shares, bonds, and options in companies that ethics officers said was directly related to the agency's work. This is institutionalized corruption. And I asked you point blank, do you own any individual stock? And you told me, no. Let's just look at it. It was not a difficult question. Do you own individual stocks, Madam Secretary? You said no. In fact, you repeated it three times to me. No, no, no. Turns out that was false. You did own multiple individual stocks, and you neglected to report it to this committee for months afterwards. Why did you mislead this committee?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
goodness. That was exactly my response.
Oh, my
goodness. So why did
Senator,
you mislead this committee?
Ask me these questions.
I believed that I had sold all individual stocks, and I was incorrect. So I came back
and told... You just don't know your portfolio?
Pretty much.
It's a big one, I guess, huh?
No, it's extremely small.
Apparently not. Someone
she's trying to act like she's like a humble little personal investor, and my husband had a she tries to play it on. Holly hits her right between the eyes. It's so great.
Manages it for you.
So I came back as soon as I found out that in fact I had not sold all individuals.
Wait. No, that's not true either. Let's just look at the timeline. I just remind you, you're under oath. Madam Secretary, you testified you didn't own any individual stocks. You didn't sell the stocks for a whole nother month. And after you sold the stocks, you waited another month before you informed this committee. Why did you mislead us, and what were you hiding? Why did you wait so long? Why did you hide this?
I did not hide it because I brought it forth to the committee when I realized that we had made a mistake.
Really? What explains the delay? Why did you wait for a full month to explain your actions to this committee, your false testimony?
That's less than a month, and I sent a letter explaining what had happened.
May the 15th to June the 9th.
Because I owned a Ford stock that was...
You misled this committee, and you wait. What were the stocks? What were the stocks that you owned?
It was a Ford stock that my husband had owned since he was very young, and I just was not aware of it.
And what were the others? You sold six stocks. What were the other five?
I sold non-conflicting stocks.
What were they?
I don't even know. I do know the Ford one because that was a conflict.
You don't.
That's why
you
I raised this.
You're here before this committee a year later after actively misleading to us, after denying and delaying and delaying, and now you won't tell us. Was one of them Proterra?
No.
You sat on the board of directors at Proterra. You made millions, CNN reports, and stock options at Proterra. Then you promoted Proterra stock and Proterra products as energy secretary.
Sir,
was that one of the stocks that you sold?
This is so... I mean, really.
Was that one of the stocks you sold? Yes,
no,
really.
No.
You are presiding over institutionalized corruption in your energy department. You
I'm
have
so
violated
sorry.
The Stock Act nine separate times. You have been referred by the Inspector General for violations of the Hatch Act. It is institutionalized corruption that you are now the face of. And here's what I'm trying to figure out. I just want to know who really runs the energy department. Is it you? Or is it the mega corporations whose stock that you own that you're
That's
making profits
down.
In?
Oh, my goodness.
Or maybe it's the foreign billionaires who fund your conferences. Let's try something else. Do you know the names of the foreign billionaires who fund the conferences you go to? Since you don't know the stocks, do you know the names of the foreign billionaires?
This is unbelievable to me.
Wow. Let me help you.
Mr. Chairman.
One of them is Hans-Jörg Weiss, a Swiss billionaire who has used various dark money front groups.
I do not know what you are talking about.
Various dark money front groups to funnel foreign money into American politics. He has used the Berger Action Fund, $20 million, that then sent money to the Fund for a Better Future, that then sent money to the Climate Power Group that has funded conferences you've attended. Do you know who this is? Do you think it's a
no
good
idea
to attend
is.
Conferences
I have no
funded
idea
by
what
foreign
you're talking
billionaires?
About. I have no idea what you're talking
You don't
about.
Know the stocks. You don't know the billionaires. You would take no responsibility. Meanwhile, your energy department, executives in your energy department are trading stocks in companies that they have direct oversight over, and you were too.
That is incorrect.
It's
Nobody in my in the Department of Energy, and we have a strong ethics office, does not trade stocks in anything that they have oversight over.
That is simply not true, Madam Secretary.
Sir,
the Wall Street Journal has reported on this extensively.
If I may, just ask the question. Is it possible that maybe we can continue this at a later time? But if you had any questions on the energy, direct energy policies.
Mr. Chairman, this is directly relevant to institutionalized corruption in the Department of Energy that she oversees. You're, I think, about to say that the Wall Street Journal report's wrong.
The Wall Street Journal report did not say that people over whom they were in areas where they were directly overseeing had stocks. They did not. Our ethics office consults with all of our employees that need to be have a reporting requirement about their stock holdings. They do not own stocks in areas that they have any influence over, nor do I.
Madam Secretary, all I have to say is this record is just deplorable. It is despicable. It is outrageous that hundreds of officers in the Energy Department are trading shares.
Incorrect.
It is outrageous that you misled
incorrect.
Us. It is outrageous that you are continuing
incorrect.
To mislead us. And it is outrageous you're going to conferences and events funded by foreign billionaires using dark money to try to influence our politics. This has got to change. And frankly, you should go.
Boom. Wow. That is off the hook. All right, I want you to hear this. This is from April 12th. This is when Speaker Johnson was down at Mar-a-Lago, and he made a very important statement, and we're going to hold him to it. But I want you to hear this in case you haven't. This is not like breaking news, but it's definitely super duper important, especially in the landscape where we are right now, where we find ourselves right now.
All around. I've been to 23 states now in the last several weeks, and everywhere we go, one of the first questions that people ask about is this issue of election integrity. The border is the number one issue in America. There's never been.
By the way, he's at Mar-a-Lago with Trump standing right behind him. That's kind of important, too.
Been a political issue that scored so high in the polls as a matter of concern. And it doesn't matter where anyone lives, because as we say now, every state is a border state. They're deeply concerned about that. And election integrity is tied to border, the lack of border security. President Biden has created a catastrophe, and he did it by design, We documented 64 specific executive actions that he took from the day he walked into the Oval Office and that his agencies took under Secretary Mayorkas to open the border wide, to invite everybody from around the world to come here, including hardened criminals and dangerous persons. And the result, we all know. The official number is 9 million encounters at the southern border alone just since Joe Biden took office. But the actual number is probably close to 16 million illegals who have come into the country because they desired it. They designed it. They engineered it to be that way. His actions did that. He ended the Remain in Mexico policy under President Trump's administration. They reinstated catch and release that had been practiced under the Obama administration. They stopped building the wall. They did everything exactly the opposite of what this president had achieved. And that's why we have this catastrophe. It has all sorts of terrible effects on the American people. We know that fentanyl is the leading cause of death for Americans age 18 to 49. We know that violent crimes are being committed on innocent Americans now. Lake and Riley and many others who are now losing their lives because these dangerous people are in our country, and it must stop. And the American people are demanding that it does. And it doesn't matter which political party that any American is in. They have the same desire. They want safety and security, and we can supply that. But among the problems that flows from this open border catastrophe is directly related to this threat to our election integrity. Why is that? You need to understand something really important about federal law. Since 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, we call it the Motor Voter Law, allows people to sign up to vote when they get a driver's license. If an individual only asserts or simply states that they are a citizen, they don't have to prove it. They can register that person to vote in a federal election. And you see, states are currently prohibited, believe it or not, the states are prohibited from asking someone to prove that they're a citizen. The federal voter registration form just has a checkup box, and if you do that, you're good. The states can't allow it. Well, we think that's a serious problem. And so what we're going to do is the House Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections. But there are some Democrats who don't want to do that. We believe that one of their designs, one of the reasons for this open border, which everybody asks all around the country, why would they do this? Why would they allow all this chaos? Why the violence? Because they want to turn these people into voters. Right now, the administration is encouraging illegals to go to their local welfare office to sign up for benefits. Well, guess what? When you go to a welfare office, they also ask you if you would like to register to vote. And so many people, we think, are going to do that. And you know what? If the numbers are so high, there's so many millions of illegals in the country, that if only 1 out of 100 voted, they would cast potentially hundreds of thousands of votes in the election. That could turn an election. This could be a tight election in our congressional races around the country. It could, if there are enough votes, affect the presidential election. And so that's why House Republicans are going to act. I'm going to announce to you today, here standing alongside President Trump, that we will do everything within our power to ensure that we do have free and fair elections in this country. If we don't have that in a constitutional republic, we have nothing. It's the basis of who we are as a nation, and we owe that to the American people. And so what we're going to do is introduce legislation to require that every single person who registers to vote in a federal election must prove that they're an American citizen first. You have to prove it. That will be a new part of the federal law and a very important one. Our bill will establish new safeguards. It'll put us on par, by the way, with virtually every other democracy around the world that also prohibits non-citizen voting. And this is a critical thing for us to do at a very critical time. Our bill also will require states to remove non-citizens from their existing voter rolls. That's a big problem, too. And it will provide access to databases from the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration to help the states administer this.
And you know what else? Merrick Garland said in witness testimony just yesterday that I'm trying to find that, actually, but he said just yesterday that he agrees that citizens, only citizens should be allowed to vote. So he said that unequivocally. And I thought that was important too. You get that on record. So now he can't complain about it, right? I mean, that's the thing. And Oh, I need you to hear this Gorsuch testimony right here. You got to hear this. Okay, so this is the Supreme Court. So Merrick Garland did say that, though. He was asked. He says, do you think that non-citizens should be allowed to vote? And he said no. All right, so that was key. But take a listen to this exchange with Neil Gorsuch from the Supreme Court just yesterday on the January 6th obstruction charge. This was by this particular prosecutor, or this Elizabeth Preloger, U.S. Solicitor General, who clerked for Merrick Garland.
If I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse
this
qualify?
This is about the J6.
Would a heckler in today's audience qualify, or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind
Senator
of built-in
Holland.
Limitations are the things that I think would
Thank
potentially
you, Mr. Chairman,
suggest
Madam
that
Secretary,
many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outbursts,
okay,
we don't think it falls within the
outburst. My outbursts
to begin with.
Require the court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into
this is a hypothetical.
Line. Or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside
assume,
the courthouse, we'd
can,
have to show
think,
that, yes, they were
think
aiming
I've
at
shown,
the proceeding.
I, yeah, they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly, and this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also, but we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We and went around that tree yesterday.
I know. I heard the argument yesterday, but I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of
so
those protesters had
corrupt
intent.
So mostly peaceful protest that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's a high
bar. They intend to do it, all right.
Yeah, it's absolute bias, right? And then I got one more. I don't know how much time we have. But I want you to hear this Clyde Merrick Garland piece.
Mr. Clyde.
Thank you, Chairman Rogers. Attorney General Garland, as I understand it, the Hatch Act generally prohibits federal employees from lobbying Congress on legislation while on the job. Last week, when the House was considering legislation to reform and reauthorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, did you or anyone in your office make phone calls to members of Congress urging them to oppose the Biggs Amendment to require the government to obtain a warrant prior to spying on American citizens through FISA Section 702? A yes or no will suffice.
The Hatch Act and the Constitution permit the members of the President's administration
so
to speak with members who are interested in
conversations.
How many members did you call?
I'm not going to get into that question, but I'm telling you,
okay.
There is nothing unlawful. This is the basic.
On March 3rd, 2024, at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Selma, Alabama, you made comments regarding our country's elections and election security laws passed by various states. Specifically, you claimed that democracy was under attack by, and I quote, discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot. Attorney General, do you believe requiring an ID to vote in a federal election is discriminatory? Yes or no?
I spoke at the iconic church from which the March for Voting Rights began.
Just a yes or no will be fine.
The answer is the Supreme Court's decision says that undue burdens on voting rights caused by voter IDs can be unconstitutional, but that
what?
The burdens... That's right. That's what the
Supreme Court... Voter ID can be unconstitutional.
It can be, depending on the burdens and the discriminatory way in which they are taken.
Right. And then he does say illegals should not be allowed to vote. He says that. But we're out of time. So you've been listening to The Scott Adams Show. Please check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to keep The Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com.
Grab a shovel, dig a hole,
we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, buddy.